place that you fulfill many, many hearts, and that one of that heart is mine. You know, I love your music, and it's wonderful to come to church this Sabbath. Are you amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Boone. Last week you gave a powerful message. I listened to your sermon online. Even though I'm far away, I still can hear every person. I know exactly what the church is doing. You know, it's wonderful. And glad to be home, you know. Who were there with me in Oakland? A few people in Oakland. I wouldn't miss to come back home here. Huh? It's wonderful. We have a wonderful church. You know, I took Hung with me to Florida. He said, it's nice to be back home because sometimes there's nothing being like home. You know, it's really, we miss our brother and sister. And we go out for them because many churches don't have enough people to run a church. It's so sad, and we just love them, and we pray for them. But this morning I have a message. I have a burden in my heart. And the word same burden have an echo. So the name of the message this morning is Burden for Lost Soul. If it's my favorite topic, you know. And somehow God maybe need to remind me and remind you about it. And sometimes we have so busy in life, we forgot to remind ourselves what has God meant for us here. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, what is your burden in your heart? Please lay that in. To be a burden in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Abraham Biminger, he's a Swedish boy during the time of later time of Reformation. He decided to go into the New World in America. All his parents, his family, and he on the very same ship with John Wesley. People don't know John Wesley at that time. John Wesley also tried to seek for spiritual renewal as well. He lost both his parents, and they buried both his parents under the sea. Abraham decided that learn more about God. And as he became manhood, he decided to share the cross with people. And so people encourage him, why don't you go to St. Thomas Island, share the gospel to the slavery there. And he took on the challenge. He went to the St. Thomas Island, and he started to share about the gospel there, and he got stopped by the officer say that you cannot preach the gospel here because you're not slavery. Only the slavery can preach to the slavery. I said, how can I preach the gospel if I'm not slavery? And so he wrote a long letter to the governor of the island and asked him, I would like to be slavery for life so I can preach to that slavery. The governor was touched, so amazing, this young man would take that. And he said, you can preach to anywhere how you want to. He had the burden. I wonder how could he have that burden to be slavery for life? You know what I mean? This means you are not your own anymore. You will work for someone else. You were beat up, and you were willing to do that because you want to share the gospel to other people. Our Jesus Christ did just that. He willing to come to be a man, die as a man, and beat up as a man to able to share the gospel with us. Open the Bible with me. The book of Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, starting verse 1. If you have it, say amen. I copied from that line from Vung last week. Amen. And if you don't have it, say have mercy. I don't know, have a copy somewhere else. Okay. All right. I tell the truth in Christ. That's even Paul write a letter to Romans. Say, I tell you the truth. I'm not telling you the lie. I tell you the whole hearted truth. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. I have God witness me that I'm telling you the truth. What truth that Paul trying to say here? That I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. That's mean I'm so sorrow. I have so much grief. I mean, I couldn't handle anymore. That's what Paul said. I cannot handle. I'm so sorrow and so much grief in my heart. And what grief and what sorrow did Paul have? Verse 3. For I could wish. What did Paul wish? That I myself were accursed. Is that right? Is that right word? That I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. Here, Paul saying this, I'd rather be cursed from Christ. I'd rather be rejected from Christ. I mean, can you imagine Paul left everything to follow Jesus Christ? Am I right? He left the world. He left his powerful position. He left his position to be a professor of rabbinic university. He left everything for Christ. And now he comes to Christ saying, Christ, I'd rather be accursed from you. Now, what does that mean? Is it Paul rejected Christ here? Abandoned his master? No, try to understand this text here. I could wish that I myself were cursed from Christ, abandoned from Christ, rejected from Christ. For who? For my brethren. My kinsmen according to the flesh, who were who? Israelite. That means I'd rather be cursed from Christ for the people I love. He loved his people so much that he'd rather be rejected from Christ. He's so sorrow. He's so hurt that his own people are not saved by Christ. He'd rather not be saved at all. Now, that should be a ring of tone in your ears. Who also said almost the same thing? Who? Moses. Where? Exodus chapter 32. Turn with me, Exodus chapter 32. And verse what now? The same verse as the chapter. Which is? Are you listening? The same verse, chapter 32, verse? Verse 32, that's going to be easy to remember. Exodus chapter 32, verse 36. Yet now, if you will forgive my sin, their sin, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book of life which you were written. In other words, Moses said, you know, Moses preaching to the Israelites, Moses willing to left his freedom, a wonderful family, live in a countryside, have a country home, good home-cooked meal, everything. And here he followed Jesus and said, go back to Egypt that you probably maybe die from that and rescue my people. And he's willing to follow Jesus Christ. It took a long time for Jesus getting to him. But at least he followed, and he able to bring all the Israelites out of Egypt, a million people more or less, and go through the wilderness. He loved them so much, and here God come down and judge his people, and about to kill his people, if you will. And Moses stepped in and say, Lord, if you decide to kill them, take my life first. Blot my name out of the book of life. Who are these people? I mean, these people say, Moses, I don't want to follow you. I want to go back to Egypt. I hate you. You bring us on the wilderness. All we eat is manna. All we eat is vegetarian, you know. I want to go back to Egypt and eat all the meat I could, all the idols I can worship. And here, Moses said, Lord, do not kill them.
kill me. Exactly the same thing what Paul said. They have burden for lost soul. They have burden for their lost brother and sister. They have a burden for their own people. Now, let me ask you a question. All those young people here, is your parent believe in Christ? If no, raise your hand. Did your parent not come to church?
Oh, my God.
All those adults here, is your children here in church and accept Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. You see, there's some people that we know in our family or extended family do not know Jesus Christ. Now, the question this morning, do you have burden for your loved one? You have a burden for the lost soul. This is not a rhetorical question. I know every one of you have a burden for the lost people, for the lost soul. Right? Am I right? You have a burden, right? I know. If I replay the horrible, horrific scene on television many years ago about 9/11, I bet every one of you here sit and cry. I remember very vividly that early morning, I believe Tuesday it was, received a phone call from Kutiwa. You remember that? I said, Pastor Vin, do you know anything about the Twin Tower got hit by the airplane, the terrorists? I turned on, I watched that. It broke my heart when I see some people jump out of the Twin Tower. They jump out of the Twin Tower and commit suicide. Either they're going to die by hit the floor on the ground or die by burning. And tears ran out of my eyes, rolled down my cheek, just like every one of you would see that. I don't know that person. No, he or she know me, but I cry for them. I have burden for them. I care for them. I couldn't see that scene. And when people call out, they need blood to rescue some of the people, you're willing to give blood. You don't know them. You're willing to do everything. You and I have burden for lost soul. When the ambulance or the fire truck go by and you hear those sirens go off, what do? You move to the roadside. It's not because you're afraid you get a ticket, right? I hope not. But you move to the side because you know they're important. They need to save some life here. You have burden for that. You and I all have burden for these souls, for these people. We all have it. But do we have to the extent of Jesus Christ have? When Peter, in the book of John, chapter 21, say, Peter, the Lord says, Peter, Peter, do you love me? What does Peter say? Yes, I love you, Lord. You know that. I mean, I love everything. 3.5 years, walk with you, eat with you, sleep on the floor like a homeless. You know I love you. And Jesus said, do you really love me? Right there, Peter started to understand, well, my Lord knows better than I am. Do you really love me? And what the Bible say? Go tend to my sheep, right? But I want to have a version right here. Go love someone that I love. Go love someone that I have died for. God speak the same message with you and I, same thing here. Do you love me enough? Do you love Jesus Christ enough? You know, Jesus didn't say that, if you love me, come and serve me. If you love me, bring all the tithe and an offering coming to me. If you love me, come down and bow and worship me. No, he said, if you love me, go. and love someone else. Why did Jesus say that? Because Jesus died for that soul, just like he died for you and I. That soul out there is his children too, you know. As your family, right? In your family, if you have one person missing, maybe go somewhere far away. What, how's it feel in the family? I mean, when one of my son left for some kind of trip for a long time, I feel something missing. I feel something missing in the home. I don't hear that same sweet sound anymore. I don't hear the noise, the exciting anymore. What happened? Same thing heaven. In heaven, same thing. If God lost his one of his children, it's not heaven anymore. It's not. Is that right? It's not the same. Just imagine you walk in heaven on the road on that golden street. And then the mailbox, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, it's not there. It's not there. And you walk by, you know that name, but that person is not there. You missing that? You come somewhere and then what's not there? It's not there forever. It's not there. And so now I want to share with you something here. Like I say, every one of you have a burden for lost soul. But why Christian churches are so, the statistically show is so different from what the Bible have taught us about burden for lost soul. Dallas Morning News. This is old news, but I'm sure we can relate to it. June 11, 1994. 68% of people who profess Christian do not see evangelism is number one. 68% of church members do not see evangelism as number one priority. In Barner Research, say that the people consider them born again. People consider them born again. 75% of people say that they're born again, baptized in Christ. 75% do not know the Great Commission. Are you one of that statistic? Do you know the Great Commission? 97%, according to Jordan Church Source, 97% have no involvement in evangelism of some sort. 97%. Amazing, many churches across the United States that they have not put evangelism as priority. And if you don't have evangelism as a priority in your now church, same thing, we do not have burden for lost soul. You know, for the last 2 years now, every summer I took, and I'm probably going to continue doing this, took young people at all as well, travel across the state, attend the SI convention. And I can I take this as a mission trip. Stop by every single city that's where Vietnamese. And I'm glad last year a few young people, Hung came with me. I'm sure it's opened his eyes. Every single state you go to, there's Vietnamese. But there's no Vietnamese church. People do not know about Christ. And we share the literature that we have. We share with them and we pray with them and we pray for that city. May God to come down to help those people to know Jesus Christ. As you travel, you will see many people are walking in darkness. You don't have to go across the nation. You just go out on the street here. Do you see them? Do you see them? I remember when I just graduated from seminary, I come to this very important city. And to me, it's a very sin city, and probably still does. I see everyone walk by, it's burned my heart. These people do not know Jesus Christ. I have a burden to share with them. I want a burden to talk with them about Jesus. But as time goes by in the busy of life,
somehow the burden is not there anymore. It's not so strong anymore. I cry out, God, please restore that burden in my heart. Do you feel the same way too? There's a time the burden is not there anymore. Somehow the light is not there anymore, just about to die. And God, please do not let that light to go down. Please rekindle that burden in my heart. Now, I'm sure you come to this church and you say, you know, I come to the church to hear a sermon to uplift me. Don't give me more burden. But I'm telling you too, I don't give you. I think the Lord maybe give you. Because what burden in God's heart he want to put in your heart. God have burden for Judah because he about to betray his Lord. He want to have a burden to save that soul even the last day of his life. If you know someone who faced the last day of their life, are you willing to go out and share with them? Jesus Christ did. Right? Now, at the very beginning, I ask you, do you have a burden for lost soul? And I say everyone have it because you respond to any critical moment people facing death. You're willing to go out. You and I are doing that. But God taught me a lesson 2 weeks ago. In the busyness of life, I received a phone call. We would go dinner myself, go visit someone. We start to make a call from our database that we send them newsletter every month, a Voice of Hope newsletter. You know, we send a lot of them, 5,000 every single month. You know, some of people say they're a waste of time and waste of money. But maybe this phone call, after you hear this story, is not a waste of time and money. His name is Ben, and last name is Wynn. Ben Wynn. Just live down the street here, Ramona. I come to visit him. As he opened the door, I noticed that he just got a stroke. He just told me. He limped. He took a stroke, half of his body cannot move. And I sit down and I talk with him. And he shared with me something amazing. He said, I don't know why you come today. I have stroke for two months now and I need so much help. And the doctor say if my blood pressure go up again and it continue go up, I probably have a second stroke and I would die, certainly. But he's so worried, and he prayed. And then that night before he prayed, he said, Lord, send me someone. A doctor or anyone. If not a doctor, anyone. Come to my house. Save me. And when I heard that, I just cried. I said, God, just send me there the very next day. God listened to his prayer. You know that? God listened to every prayer in this city of Almonte. And God laid that burden on you and I. Before we got on visit, I said, Lord, who is praying to you? Who are you calling us to go today? See, I pray that many times before we go out. And that particular day, 2 weeks ago, I know God answered my prayer. He opened his heart to hear the gospel. He know this church so well. He traveled back and forth and peck. He never entered into this church. I said, I pray for you, but you seek out to God. And he willing to listen to the gospel. I said, you know what? Maybe you can cure from some of your problems with limping, paralyzed both arm and leg here. I mean, an arm and leg on the left-hand side. But if anyone can cure you, you won't live more than 80 or 90 or 100 years. But I know a God can help you to live for eternal life. When I reviewed that to him, he said, wow, that's important. I didn't know that. Eternal life is more important than just temporary life. And what I learned in the past, simple
And I want to share with you and pray and pray and see what it work. And I you know, miracles come from God, not from the technique that you have. I remember years ago, I read a book, How to Treat When Someone Are Paralyzed. And the technique is, they say, using hot and cold fermentation to treat infantile paralysis. This means very early stage of paralysis. And we're using that right now. I pray that any technique he used out there, that God will use a technique that I share from the Word of God and with prayer, that God will make it work so he can believe the God of the universe. How many people heard of hot and cold infant treatment? Have you tried it? You haven't tried some of that? Oh, it's a miracle. I've done some of that. And so please pray that I continue to visit this man to help him. He cried out to God. And God put that burden upon whose heart? My heart. There's a person in someone that God will put that burden in your heart. God will. If you seek out of him, do you have a burden for lost soul? Do you have a burden for lost soul? And so now I share with you, we have a burden for people who get sick and about to die, right? But God wants to share with you something even more better. There's someone he have lost for eternally. If you cry for someone about facing cancer or terminal illness, could we cry even more for those who facing eternal death? Do you know what eternal death is? Never, never see that person again. If you compare terminal illness just as sleeping with eternal death, never seeing that person again, can you see, imagine how, why God had to come down to this earth to tell you? I believe God came down to this earth not to die for you and I. God came down here to explain to you what is eternal death is all about. To help you understand, put you and I in the right perspective. Do we have a right perspective on this issue? If we do, we cannot sit still. If we do, we cannot sleep peacefully. If we do, we cannot go on life just every day. No, we have to go on with a purpose in life that we have a burden for our lost brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ said this. And I think that Peter said, quoted in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. This verse is so well ingrained in my heart, I could continue recite this verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I want you to read for yourself. I want you to read it for yourself. Because one upon a time, that verse has come true to you. Because this verse come true to me back in 1992. The Lord is not lacking concerning his promise, as some counts lackness. But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God waiting for you and I to share the gospel with someone so they have a chance to have eternal life. Because once upon a time, God have used someone to save you. You know that? That's what God calling us. God longed to come back and take us home. God's long. You don't know how much you long for it. Are you long for it, Jesus, come back? Maybe for some people on the deathbed and they long for it. But are you willing to, are you long for it? But every single day, Jesus Christ have not come to back to this earth to take his children home. He's still waiting. He wanted to. He wanted so bad. Somehow there's something pull him back. No, don't go yet. Give one more day. Just one more day. Just one more day, because one more soul needs to be saved. Maybe you in that group. See, this text come real to me because God saved me. Romans chapter 10. After Romans chapter 9, Paul do everything to bring his brethren back. And here he have to address the point to the church in Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call upon him, Jesus Christ, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, without you and I share the gospel? How can people know about it? People down the street, they don't know about it. Mr. Ben went down the street, don't know about it, until God instructs us to go and share, go and tell them about it. Go with them, give them a flyer, invitation to accept Jesus. John Knox once said to God, say, give me whole Scotland or else I die. A powerful prayer. Give me Scotland or else I die. Give me our Monday or else this church will die. If you have that prayer, God will revive this church. If you have that prayer, God will put that burden into your heart. Everyone, old or young, doesn't matter. Either believe in God a long time or new believer, God will put that burden. My friend, that burden might be sound heavy to you, but that burden God wants you and I to take, because heaven is cheap enough. It's worth it. It's worth it. You have all eternity to relax. You know that? You have all eternity to relax. Why don't carry on that challenge? And some of you might sound like so hard and heavy, but when you taste the sweet Spirit of Jesus Christ, you will feel it so light, so joyful, so happy. And I guarantee you, nothing in the world can fill your heart with happiness when you have that burden. Sounds so strange, my brother and sister, but you taste it and you will find out. You will taste it and you will find out. When the disciple of Jesus Christ come back to Jesus, and Jesus was sitting there at the well and feeding the word of God to this lady Samaria, and the whole village come out to hear the gospel. And Jesus said to the disciple, I'm already full. And the disciple said, what do you eat for lunch? How can you so full? Yes, your heart will fulfill completeness when you see other souls come to Christ. I don't feel hungry. I don't feel I'm thirsty anymore, because when I see people come to Christ, I'm so happy. That's why it is. The happiness is so strong, so excited, that nothing in the world is matter anymore. Do you want God to put that burden in your heart? Do you want? You want it, huh? How many people want to have put God put that burden in your heart? How many people want? I know some of you excited to raise your hand. Some of you may be reluctant. Some of you may be not raise your hand. But if you raise your hand, I guarantee you that God will put into your heart. When God put in your heart, you will know. And you will do everything to bring the lost back to Christ. Shall we pray? Dear Lord our God, you have done everything for us, for this world. You have died for everyone. You have called thousands and thousands of angels to come down this earth to preach the gospel. You can make the rock cry out.
the name of Jesus Christ to get the word out. But you have not choose that method. You have not choose those method at all. You called upon each one of us. You put that burden upon us, upon me. And I want to say thank you. Because with that burden, I will see and I will understand about you more. I understand about your love more. I understand more. I could understand more how you went through about crying out for lost soul. As I want to say thank you, Lord, for those hands have raised and truly speak to you, say, Lord, put that burden in our heart. In every single member heart have committed. Lord, give us that burden that we can count all joys. We might not know now, but then we will know as you know us. So Lord, for this very special Sabbath day, if any heart open, hear your voice. I pray that you intervene right now. Speak to them. Talk to them. Come into their heart. That you lay this great burden as you laid on many thousands of souls, thousands of witnesses, thousands of Christians go out and win your soul. Please lay that burden in our heart that at least we could win one soul for your kingdom. Our parent, our children, our relative, our neighbor, anyone, bring back to the kingdom of God. May that burden in our heart continue burn until you come again. And you will say, everything is finished. Everything is over. Come. Come with those faithful ones. Come to my Father's house. So Lord Jesus Christ, walk with us, mingle with us, talk with us every single day. Help us prepare and ready for your soon coming. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.